Jarrett Lloyd, of course, we talked about him in the buildup. He's done a great job for the Provo Daily Herald. He covers the Cougars. And before we get into the football, and now that we're talking about Scott Brooks, maybe you can get into a little bit more of the transfer situation. Dave Rose got some news that probably isn't completely a surprise. Jared, thank you so much for joining us here on ESPN 700. But maybe you could kind of explain. We know about Frank Bartley and the other transfer. Maybe was that something that was sort of waiting in the weeds there?
Well, I think it was, and I think it was a situation where, you know, these guys are looking around at their options, and I just don't think either of them, you know, necessarily felt like they were going to get the type of opportunities that they wanted to have, particularly when they looked at the guys in front of them and where mm-hmm. they'd be at in the, you know, kind of in the along the pecking order for the BYU basketball team. And, you know, I haven't gotten to know either of them super well. I've gotten to know Frank a little bit, talked to Isaac once or twice, and, you know, they're good guys and, you know, they're talented, but I just don't think things developed like either of them hoped they would this past season. And, you know, with BYU being in the situation that they are, with a lot of guys with a lot of potential and a lot of different roles that are already filled, I think that they decided that they'd have better options elsewhere and decided to move on. And I wish them the best of luck. You know, it's a situation where, you know, if you're a BYU fan, I think you're really going to miss Frank Bartley's defense and what mm-hmm. he's able to do defensively rebounding. He could be a bit of a loose cannon offensively. You know, I think Isaac Nielsen will develop into a good player. I think he was, you know, kind of, you know, it's his position with Corbin Cafusi deciding to play basketball and his development. I think Isaac realized that he was going to be down the list a little bit and decided to move on as well. So, you know, I wish him the best of luck. I hope they go someplace and have success. But, you know, it does make things a little bit different as far as, you know, how BYU's roster comes together.
Yeah, and maybe some, you know, some of the Cougar faithful look at this as a good sign. I mean, you know, I don't think everybody was thrilled with how the season went, obviously, and maybe this is an indication that there's, you know, that there's better players coming in, and the competition was going to be a little bit too much for those guys, and they wanted to move on and go to a place where they, you know, that where the minutes would be real. And certainly you have some kids coming into the program who are going to make an impact immediately, and so maybe in a sense It's some kind of guarded good news for Cougar fans. Is that too optimistic?
Well, I don't think anybody knows at this point, but you know, it was talked about at times last year that Kyle Davis was BYU's best back to the basket scorer, and you know, he wasn't able to play after transferring. But you know, you look at him taking some of those, you know, some of that time. You look at Jamal Hayes being in the mix. You know, if he's able to get healthy, that's always a question mark. But, you know, you bring back, if Nate Austin's able to get healthy,
right.
You know, you got four big men right there. Where was Isaac Nielsen going to get minutes?
Right.
And even Frank Bartley, you look at, you know, what Kyle Collinsworth does and, you know, where he'd be at the 2-3 spot and, you know, where would the opportunities be there? There's other guys that are also in the mix. And so, you know, it's a question mark as far as, well, could they develop more at BYU? Possibly. But, you know, there's guys there. I don't know how much they'll be. I think, you know, Bartley's defense might be the thing that's missed most. I don't know who's going to step in and, you know, try and do what he was able to do there. But other than that, I think BYU's got guys in position to be able to, you know, pick up the slack that those guys left.
No doubt about that. Jarrett Lloyd of the Provo Daily Herald joining us here on ESPN 700. Tom Kirkland driving the bus. Let's sort of downshift and move over to the Cougar football program. And Bronco, in one of the articles you've just finished writing, talks about winning big games is the key to achieving the program's goals. And, you know, that's pretty obvious. But I noted, I mean, almost a defiance in his words that he wants to take on the best. And you know, that's the ticket for them to get out of this maybe increasingly troublesome independent situation. And they may have to play their way into a situation where they're really attractive to one of the Big Five conferences. Is that sort of what you are getting at?
Well, I think there's a variety of factors. I think that, you know, as the, you know, the TV money is what's driving everything.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, BYU's got a nice contract, but it's not at the level of the P5 schools that they're getting, because that TV money just has blown up, you know, what they're getting. And it's an interesting bubble there, because, you know, I wonder how long it's sustainable. Does it continue to rise? Where does it go from here? You know, there's just a lot of question marks as far as where revenue comes. So that's the big concern. I think other than revenue, BYU is fairly satisfied with independence. A lot of things have worked out well, but revenue is a big concern. If you want to compete, you know, how much, you know, what are you doing if you're, you know, millions of dollars behind what you know, the Power Five schools are getting. So I think that's where it comes down to. And frankly, what Mendenhall can do is put a good product on the field that gets a lot of eyeballs on televisions, you know, gets ratings. BYU already is a consistently, you know, popular choice for an ESPN, for those,
sure,
you know, for television stations, because they consistently get good ratings. Yep. And you play good teams, but you've got to play them well, and you've got to be in the discussion, you know, particularly late in the season, for that to continue. And that's where, you know, a season like this, where you've got, you know, a number of really big games, really big opportunities, the best thing he can do is win games. That, I mean, it's that simple. Go out and win, and that's what's going to do the most for your case. Saying, look at us, we deserve to be a part of, you know, this echelon, getting these types of things. And, you know, it's interesting to me a little bit, because let's say a Power Five shift doesn't happen. Things stay where they are. That particularly might be the case if the Big 12 doesn't have to go to 12 teams to play a championship. If they get a waiver, then all of a sudden, you know, what's the incentive for them to expand when they can just split their money with 10 teams instead of 12?
Right.
And so you look in that situation, and a few years down the road, when BYU's ESPN contract is up, what happens then? And that, to me, is a very intriguing question. Does BYU get a bigger contract with ESPN? Do they renew at the same level? What is it, you know, where does it all come together? And and I think that's the question that, you know, Tom Holm will have to be asking, because you can't force your way into a P5 conference. Even if you win every single game for the next 3 years, there's no guarantee that a P5 school, you know, a P5 conference will come knocking at the door. You've got to, you know, that's the best, most likely way to do it, but it's not necessarily going to happen that way. And so you got to be ready for whatever eventuality comes. And that's what they did with independence. They took what they felt like was the best option. I think it's been a lot better overall than probably staying with the Mountain West would have been. And, you know, particularly with TCU TCU and Utah leaving, I think BYU had to do something.
Yep.
And so I think it was the right move. And now they're in that same position. What do we do? What's going to be the best for BYU football and BYU athletics overall?
Right. BYU beat writer Jared Lloyd of the Daily Herald with us. And that's interesting, that really intriguing slant you had on that, that all of a sudden when, you know, the ESPN deal comes back around, you know, there's some pressure on both sides. I mean, imagine, you know, BYU, if they don't have a lot of options, and it would seem to me that ESPN is in a little bit of a position, you know, maybe to play a little bit of hardball. But before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about another thing you struck on, you know, how long Bronco would continue to be the head coach. I thought that was a great article and another insight into the man who leads the Cougar football program. You know, and he said, basically, I didn't get into this to be the head coach and never put a real timetable on it. But what is your sense? You're around this guy a lot, and he's not cut from the same cloth that a lot of head coaches are. A lot of guys are eyeing the buyout clause in their contract and trying to hopscotch around to the biggest, brightest, highest paying jobs. But that's not Bronco. And yet, you know, I'm wondering how many years before it's too much, because clearly he puts everything he has into it.
And that's, you know, I think what was really telling to me is how he treats it as a lot of students at BYU treat things. It's very much based on his feeling and how he feels like and what he feels like he should be doing. You know, it's almost it's very consistent with BYU's religious message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting to me. And it's an interesting thing when I think of all of the LDS BYU fans, some of the more vocal ones that have come out, you know, wanting Bronco fired or, you know, get him out because he's not leading the program to higher levels or whatever. You know, I mean, they probably feel the same thing in their own lives, you know, that they kind of follow their feelings and, you know, kind of that approach that, that a lot of members of the LDS faith take. So, you know, I really think that that's what it comes down to for Bronco is he's going to continue doing what he feels like is the right thing for him and his family. And, you know, I mean, he's not getting paid market value at BYU. I mean, we all know that. I mean, we may not know the numbers of the contract, but, you know, there's no way he's making what a lot of coaches in similar positions are making.
Right.
You know, so there's, you know, the money factor probably isn't the biggest driver for him, but that's, you know, it's always an interesting question when people start bringing that, you know, let's bring in somebody else. It's like, well, you know that they're not going to get paid what, you know, they get paid other places. So you got to have the right type of person. And so he's, you know, I don't know if there's any sort of sense, you know, let's, you play the what if game. If they go undefeated this year, I think he probably sticks around. You know, if they go 5-7, which is always a possibility, then I think he, you know, reevaluates it and you know, maybe decide time to do something else or move into a different role or something like that. So you know, I just think there's a lot of questions, and I think all we can say right now is he's going to go into this year, and I think this year will be really telling.
I agree.
I really think that, you know, with all of the factors, with Taysom Hill for his senior year, offensive line that's very experienced, lots of defensive guys played last year, and hopefully, you know, can counter that. You know, you hope to get Jamal Williams back and healthy as your top running back. Experienced, talented receivers. You know, they got a lot of factors that go into their favor saying, hey, if
this
they're
going to
have a special year, this is the one that they've been pointing to. And they've got the schedule that's daunting.
Yes.
But I don't, you know.
But an opportunity knocking, too.
Big-name programs with brand-new coaches, another big-name program that's, you know, breaking in a new quarterback. You've got some opportunities here to make some things happen, and you just don't know. But, you know, it's kind of this year, to me, will tell a lot about where the program's at.
Well, you'll be right there giving us great insight, as you've done for years. Jared Lloyd, Provo Daily Herald, BYU's beat writer for football and basketball. Thank you so much for spending some time. I enjoy your articles and your perspective on things. And, you know, we didn't talk a lot of X's and O's, but thank you. It was very telling and very insightful. Appreciate it, Jared.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Take care.